If you'd like to, you can turn in your Bibles to the book of Daniel chapter 3. We live in a really hectic, chaotic world right now. I don't think anybody can really deny that if you're keeping up with what's going on in the world and what's going on in our country, what's going on in our state right now. And I know that it's been a while back, but I did a very, very abbreviated devotional. And I'm looking at the clock now, and I know we're getting such a late start nowadays on our devos on Wednesday nights. But I want to look at Daniel chapter 3, and because it's a powerful chapter to me, because we have a story of three young men. I mean, these were relatively young men who had been taken into captivity under Nebuchadnezzar's rule. Nebuchadnezzar had set up this golden image on the plain of Dura, and the people were challenged, in fact commanded, to bow down to this image at the sound of all these instruments' music. And you had three young men with tremendous amount of faith, and that's what I want to focus on this evening. Where is our faith? Do we have anywhere near the kind of faith that these young men have? And I have to question myself sometimes as I think about this. This is one of my favorite Old Testament stories because it challenges me. What tremendous storage we have. The background's already been set up for us in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 49, because Daniel has found his place of honor in King Nebuchadnezzar's court. When we get to Daniel chapter 3 and verse 12, we see that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are also held in prominent esteem and positions in Babylon. And with this tower now set up on the plain of Dura, everybody's commanded to fall down and worship or be burned up in a fiery furnace. That's where we start off. And we're going to have as quickly as I possibly can, look at four quick points that we can learn from this. Number one, I'm going to worship and serve the one true God. We find that in chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. We don't have time to read that here, but that's the gist of verses 8 through 12. This idea literally permeates the Bible. I'm going to worship and serve the one true God. There's not but one God. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4 tells us that. And yet this is a problem that has plagued God's people throughout history, hasn't it? They don't want to worship the one true God. God had to send prophets and judges and even had to send His only begotten Son to die on the cross, so that people would stop worshiping idols. And guess what? People do it anyway. And still we're blessed with some of the great examples throughout history of people who stood and worshiped and served God. Think about Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go to a place where he didn't even know. He wasn't even told where he was going. Did not know where he was going. He gave up his inheritance. Think about Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. And Joshua would say there, "If it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, choose yourself this day whom you will serve." And he challenged the people of his day, whether it be the gods that your father served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in the land whom you dwell today. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. What about the apostles who were threatened and even beaten? And what did they say? We're going to obey God rather than man. That was their attitude. What great examples. And then look at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They serve as great examples of determination in serving the one true God. They were opposed by the Chaldeans. They were informed on for not worshiping that image. These three young men, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, those names that they were of their Hebrew heritage, knew of the horrible, terrible fate that they were going to face if they didn't do this. And you know what? It didn't faze them at all. Now let's quickly look at another point. Verses 13 through 18. I'm going to put my whole faith and trust in God anyway. All who truly worship and serve God as He has instructed can put their faith and trust in Him. Consider again Abraham. And go over the book of Genesis chapter 22 in your mind. Remember what happened there? He had a willingness to sacrifice his son of promise, Isaac. Simply at the word of God. He was willing to do that. Who would be willing to do that here today? I have a son. And I think about that. Would I have been willing to do that? Consider Noah for just a moment. A world around him so corrupt, so vile, that God would ultimately destroy that world with water. But you know what? Noah trusted God to the point that he built that ark according to all that God commanded him. So did he. Genesis chapter 6 and 7. Think about Joshua chapter 6 for just a moment. Who in their right mind would march around a city 7 times and expect to be victorious? And yet Israel did at God's command. Throughout the annals of history, God has never let man down, not once. Can't find it. It's an impossibility. And yet these three men knew with certainty that only the true child of God, the very certainty that only the true child of God can have, that God was worthy of their undying trust and faith. Go to our text of Daniel chapter 3, 16 and 17 and notice something. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If it is the case, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us from your hand, O king. Now verse 18 is the clincher. But if not, in other words, if He chooses not to do that, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. That's backbone, folks. That's faith and trust. That's courage. I don't care, is what they were saying. If you want to put us in that fiery furnace and we die there, that's fine. We'll do that. That's courage. Brethren, we need that kind of courage. We need that kind of faith. We need that kind of trust in the church today. Number 3 point, quickly. I am prepared because I know that God cares for His own. That's in verses 19 through 25. You know, as surely as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego trusted in God to deliver them, just as sure as Noah trusted in God that He was going to spare him and his family from the flood, with the same certitude of Abraham that God was going to supply a proper sacrifice when the time came. And just as Israel trusted in God to deliver Jericho to them, we too, as God's people today, can know that God protects His people. We can know that. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says there that God promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's a promise. And we know that God cannot lie. But folks, if we want God's care and protection, we have to have or have to live up to our responsibilities. We have to be determined that we will be a prepared people. Noah prepared the ark, didn't he? He built it. Abraham prepared by gathering all the wood and building that altar. Israel prepared itself by marching around the city first for 6 long days. And folks, I want to tell you something. It goes beyond that. Amos admonished Israel with a charge that I think should penetrate every living soul today in Amos chapter 4 and verse 12. Do you remember what he said there? Prepare to meet your God, O Israel. Are we prepared? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were most certainly prepared to meet their God, or they could not have said what they said to King Nebuchadnezzar. It doesn't matter. If our God chooses not to spare us, so be it. We'll die. Number four and final thought. Because I worship and serve God, because I put my trust in Him, because I prepared myself to meet Him, I will be victorious. You know, that's the positive thing here. That's what we look forward to as Christians. We're going to be victorious. Why? Because we serve a God that cannot be defeated. We serve a risen Savior who was victorious. And I don't think there's anything that is any more grandly taught in the Scriptures than our victory through Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 14 says, "For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfastly to the end." The faithful child of God is promised a crown of righteousness, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, a crown of life, Revelation 2 and verse 8, and a crown of glory, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4. And think about this. In Romans chapter 8, not once but twice, we're given great promises. Number one, if God is for us, who can be against us? Romans 8 and verse 31. Six verses later, in chapter 8 and verse 37, Paul says, we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ our Lord. And think about this in our text, verse 26 of Daniel chapter 3. From the midst of the fire, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth, how? Victoriously. Folks, we can be victorious. Let us choose with the thoughts of King Nebuchadnezzar. Let us choose our path like that. There is no other God who can deliver like that. You want to be victorious? Folks, we have a God who cannot be defeated. You want to be victorious? Put your faith and your trust in God of the Bible, Jehovah. He can't be beat. Let's go through this life. Let's go through the balance of this week and the rest of our lives with the kind of faith that these three men had.